Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wickman. You know what? Finally got Cameron, Bethany in the house. That's right. A lot of great anglers live up here in Northwest Arkansas. And so finally, they got done with the Mr. Crappie Expo tournament. And so we're having them in. Yeah. So they can talk a little bit about what they did fishing this past year and what their plans are for next year. And then we'll get that aside, and then we'll get to the important stuff. They're going to tell us how to catch fish. So
Bethany's going to tell you that.
All right. We'll take any and all information. Yep. So tell us how last year fished a bunch of tournaments.
Yep. We fish mainly Crappie Masters, and we're affiliated with Arkansas Crappie Masters. And it's an organization that's based out of sort of central Arkansas that fishes six different lakes in Arkansas. We travel with them. I'm on the board with them.
The lakes change up each year, but we fish the local trail, and then we also fish a few tournaments each year for the National Crappie Masters as well.
Yeah, is it fun to travel and fish? Because Northwest Arkansas, not known as a fishing community, you can write that down, you can put it into books, you can post it on social media that I said that. I think everyone will agree. So you have to travel to get into these tournaments, don't you?
Oh, 100%. We're on the road 99% of the time. Like you said, this area is a great area, but it's definitely not where you can stay here and, you know, fish tournaments here. Yeah. But we let the good thing about crappie fishing, it's more of a family than anything. And as you continue to grow with your family, which is the state of Arkansas, it makes it worth our time. We meet people from, you know, Louisiana and Mississippi, and they become part of your family.
Build some great relationships.
Husband wife team. And like, just like the National Crappie League has a division, Crappie Masters has a division for husband wife team.
Yep.
And have you done any good in that?
We have.
The last couple years?
Yeah, we've actually gotten better every year. We finished first last year. The year before, we were first as well. But our goal typically at the end of a season is, you know, on our way home from that last tournament, we talk about what we want to do better next year. And, you know, I think we finished the year before last fifth overall in the state trail. And then, you know, kind of on our way home, we're like, our goal is to be in the top three. So we finished third overall in the crappie, the state trail this year.
Who bumped you off? Who do we need to sabotage? Who snuck in that first and second?
I'm telling
Wasn't Ruby, was it?
No.
Well,
no,
it's not. Okay. Ruby was right there, though. He's an amazing angler as well.
But who snuck in front of you?
Mr. Baxter.
Baxter Wallace. Right. And
the
then,
silent assassin.
And then Chris Chandler, I believe.
Yep.
And Dylan.
Yep.
All right.
So they're great anglers.
Yeah.
Right. Baxter is... he's a great kid. If you ever get to meet him, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Well, that'll be my plan to get in the boat with him and see what he has and how he likes to fish. So that'd be interesting. So tell us when you started fishing tournaments, did you go as a husband-wife tournament? I mean, did you start when you started traveling? Did you start? Because I know you probably fished some back a little ways ago, we had some crappie tournaments on Beaver Lake. Did you start there or did you just jump?
So originally, there was a club here that started up and it piqued my interest. And I sort of went and tried it the first time and then, you know, you're hooked, you know, the blood of the competition. And we were very fortunate to have some great anglers in Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
That's the other hidden thing. There's tons of talent here that fish on this lake. Some of them travel now, some of them don't, you know, some of them are guides. But there's great, but,
you started with Brian Trollinger though, is your partner.
Yep.
Oh, we had just had, our daughter. And so she was fairly young when he had started tournament fishing. So he started with Brian Trollinger, local. And yep. then they ventured out to the
Crappie Masters mm-hmm. National Trail.
Uh-huh.
And we, you know, it's like anything. When you join that, the big leagues, it's a big learning curve. And a lot right. of lakes that we never experienced, and electronics were totally different back then. You right. know, you didn't have live scope. You know, we were side scanning, 2D. And, we did good, though. I mean, overall, me and Brian, you know, we did good. And it piqued her interest with the right. local club. And yep. then she sort of joined the local club and actually helped out here to keep it running. And then she got on the boat. And then it's been 6 years now.
Yep.
Really? Mm-hmm. So do you get to fish some or not?
Oh, no, I fish. We're very competitive with each other, but with right. others.
During the tournament, do you yeah. fish?
Yep.
So both of you are up front there?
Yep. Fishing? We have a system, though. During tournaments, we're both up there fishing. Uh-huh. No matter who catches it, I go back, weigh it in, put a cold ball on it, all that good stuff, and he keeps fishing while I'm doing that, and then I jump right. back up there when I can. But I'm usually too competitive to sit in the back the whole time. Oh, yeah. I just can't. And I, as much as I respect, being a net person, and I am, when we need us to be, like, I still got to work on a lot of my long rod stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah, being able to long rod. And so when we get to those lakes and it's really one person up there, then he does it for the most part. And then I net him.
All right.
Net him. Yep. Keep him but alive.
It's fun to watch her, because when she first got in the boat, she was – she wanted to do it, but she wasn't really committed at that time. Then that's when LiveScope came out.
Right.
And it drove her nuts. There was times where I didn't know what was going on with it. I was trying to learn it. You know, when we spent hours together out there, and she's like, I don't like this thing. She would actually get off her chair and sit down by me and put her feet in the water. She's right. like, I hate this thing.
Well, in fairness, as he's figuring it out, it's like, like anything. So you've got the LiveScope pointed at a fish, and I would go to, maybe throw at that fish, and then he would move the LiveScope. And I'm like, what? Where's my jig? And he's like, oh, that fish, swam off. And I'm like, you moved. Like, what do you mean? So definitely as he, learned and grew, then later on I kind of came into it. But, yes, in the beginning, definite learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, for sure.
But it's been, we're very blessed to have, I'm very blessed to be able to have her travel with me.
Right.
And she has become a great angler. I mean, I there's no doubt if that fish is on there and I miss it, or she catches it first or looks at it first and catches it. I mean, she's got a good all around game, because she is very competitive.
Right.
So she's come a long ways, and, people, in this, the crappie sport, there's women in our sport, which is great. And
right.
we've learned a lot of things from different anglers, and Bethany's talked to them and learned, where your spot is in the boat. But for us, it works out great for us, for her being up front, because there's times when I miss a fish and you only have, X amount of time right. for that fish to be on there, that she catches that fish behind me. So we've built that chemistry, and that's definitely helped us as far as elevate us in tournament fishing.
And you have a big boat.
Yeah.
So there's room up front on that deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I walk along the side, here and there too, but.
I don't think I'd walk along. Just bump into him.
Oh, no. I want to get back up there too. I'll walk the side versus fight. Waiting for him to lift his pole up and me go around him. No, I'll just walk on the edge of the boat. Unless it's super windy, then I won't.
You have a Skeeter, don't you?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you're running now?
Yep, we run a Skeeter, and it's got a 250 on it. And
FXR.
Yep. We got the new Minn Kota. We run that, and we run a 16-inch Garmin screen up front with a 34.
What do you think about an NBT up front there?
It's nice. They're nice. I mean, we get to see them. Yeah, we actually seen.
What do you think? You going to squeeze one off for Christmas, maybe?
Yeah, the funny thing was that at Wally's event that we just got done with, there was another local angler here named Joey.
Right.
And I've never really seen his boat. And we pulled in our stall that morning after we checked in. And all of a sudden, he pulled in beside us, maybe a couple slips. He's got a daggum It looked like a 46-inch screen.
Joey, England.
Yeah.
We give you a shout-out, Joey. We see him out underwater all the time.
Yeah, so. But it was interesting looking at that screen and how clear it was, you know.
You probably thought the sun was coming up
out
of that stall. It's like, is that the sun? No, it's just Joey's graph.
Yeah, Joey got a good crowd around him that morning, I promise you. Yeah, when he kicked it on. And, it was neat to see that, but.
It's interesting, but you still have to have a Garmin unit to run it. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like personally, I think it would be really hard to get used to. I mean, just gauging the size of the fish on such a huge screen. Yeah, you're like, there's a big ball like this, and you're like, that's huge, and it's probably like a 0.5 on there. But
what are you running for distance on yours? At 60 and then going to 30 afterwards, or 60 to 40?
So a lot of times now, I've got so many years behind it now, it's we typically run out 50 to 60 always. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And actually, even like long rod now, I used to pull it in. Uh-huh. But now, as times went on, if I can identify that that's a tournament fish out there, I will just run into it. Then I'll bump into it, with the long rod. If we're in a muddy lake, if we're in a lake, sort of like Beaver, mid lake or the Clear End, we'll cast at them, most of the time. And that's Bethany. I always try to, when we go to a lake, our strength is casting as a team. And there's a lot of times when we get in muddy water that we can't get them to fire. And there's a lot of times that Bethany will actually cast at them at 50 and work that fish a little bit. Then I'll slide in with a long rod. I'll keep a long rod in my hand. Then I'll actually just drop on the fish and, so we can sort of get a system that we use. I always try to make it where our strength is casting, just because of what she's done in her craft as far as becoming an angler. And that's our strong suit as far as casting, like Table Rock, for instance. We found some dirty water in the Kings River.
You mean you could only see 8 foot down?
Yeah.
Dirty water.
Yeah. And, that was a fun week, though, because, we do live on a crystal clear lake, and I don't take advantage of it like I should, because, 90% of the lakes we go fish, it's dirt, and I've got where I love it. And, I'm mainly on Beaver Lake. I fish the river arms.
Right.
Don't really go anywhere else. Like right now, I would love to be out there with the bigger eyes in the mud that flew in this lake, because that's when the big ones come out.
Yeah.
So
you're talking about a long rod. Talk for some people that don't know about what you mean by a long rod. Tell them what you're using for a long rod and the length of it. How's the casting different? Pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we use 1039 fishing rods. They're a female veteran owned company that sponsors us out of Oklahoma. But casting, we use 7 foot casting rods. That's what our go-to. And then when we're long rodding, we actually have a 13.5 foot that we use the most, I would say, but they also have 16 foot,
18,
there's a 15, a 12, a 10. So just that longer.
Is that a spinning reel on your 13 foot?
Nope.
No,
I use bait casters on mine.
All right.
With all right. braid, typically, unless we get into like a little clear water, then I'll do a leader off of it. Mono.
Right. Anthony Owens runs those rods, and he has last time we used them, he had spinning reels on those.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, you look at it, different anglers run different setups, whatever you get comfortable with. The 13.5 for me is, that's my go-to by far. The 16's great too, when they're getting real finicky and you hit them at live scope at, 25, 30 and all of a sudden they feel that and they're gone, So sometimes the advantage, using longer rods, I mean, you can look at, the main big players that are always on the top of the list.
Right.
Those guys are running 16 to 18.
Right.
Constant. And, but that's you just got to get where you're comfortable with what you're using. And that's what we're, that's what I'm comfortable with. And she's comfortable with the 7 footer.
And casting.
Casting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But we've been working on her long rod.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, my wife went with the long rod the other day and she did real good with the long rod, but it just wore out. And she said, I don't really like, so next time we went out and we give her something a little different. Because we were actually focusing on like getting her to cast more like that instead of bass fishing. And so,
yeah, that's what I do with her.
So that was, come to find out that the reel, she's left-handed, and we come to find out that actually need to put on the other side. So for years, and we're talking like 30 years or 35 years, I made her reel the way you should reel, not on the wrong side, but on the left side, on the spinning thing, and come to find out that if you put it on the other side, she could do it better. Yeah. Like completely different. I'm like, well, and sorry, she said, that. She's like, well, our one grandson's left hand. I said, tough. He gonna learn to, because I ain't turning those handles, because you know when you turn those handles, the first thing that happens, that knob, it's magnetic, just like a cell phone. It could drop here in the middle of the table, and it's it would go into the lake. So
every time.
And talking about that, make sure you don't miss this right here. Hopefully I didn't cut that off. That's the Razorbacks right there. We went to the game last night, so we have to give them a shout out. Razorback. Exciting. And the new era of Razorback basketball. Yeah, the only person that wore a crappie.com hat to the Razorback game.
That was Brad.
That was me. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I get endorsements by wearing this, you know, this fish hat.
Yeah.
But that's who I write for. So we always like to give a shout out to them. Absolutely. But tell us if you could give a person a tip on catching crappie, just crappie, not big ones, but just crappie, what would that tip be?
Gosh. Honestly, you mean other than just making sure you have live scope?
Yeah.
Because that would be my biggest tip, make sure you have live scope.
Right.
I don't know, I guess. I think just to kind of like be patient with it and don't be afraid to like try, I don't know, a different, you know, size bait or a different color or something like that. But also like, it's okay, especially in the beginning, like it's okay that it isn't, you know, a 2-pounder that you're throwing at, like just to kind of get the feel for it. And I think just to kind of be patient, give yourself a little bit of grace. And as you kind of figure that out, but feel free to switch up too. Like Cam and I will throw, especially during like pre-fishing, we'll throw different baits just to kind of see what they're going to nibble on and, you know, that sort of thing. So he'll be like, what are you putting on? I don't know. This.
You never know what she's grabbing out of that box.
Critter. creature bait. Yeah, he'll be. But
Are you in charge of the tackle, keeping it organized?
No.
Or is he?
No.
Oh,
no,
really?
Yeah.
No, right. I am not. No.
Yep. No. She's fun because I always – I like to pre-fish, you know. I'm the one that wants to go out there, and Bethany's the type of angler. When it's time to go on a tournament day, she's ready. Like she's 100% in. Hey, what I need, and she does it.
Well, and a lot of the pre-fishing days, though, especially when we travel, like. I'm lucky enough that my work, I can do it remote, and so I'll stay like at the room and work if, you know, need be or whatever. And so he'll go out and pre-fish for us. Now on Table Rock this past week, I just took the whole week off so I could go pre-fish with him. But typically pre-fishing, he does the majority of it. And then I might go out the day before or something and just kind of get my feel for it and go from there.
So you give him a tip on catching big fish.
Big
because
fish.
Because it's a different world, especially when you're traveling, going to these lakes like Grenada, Sardest.
Yep.
Ross Barnett or reservoirs like that, Lake Eufaula.
Yep.
What's the key for catching the big fish?
Yeah, the biggest key is you got to get on the right water where they live at. I've learned that, you know, like Beaver Lake, I've always thought, you know, hey, there's big fish on this lake somewhere that's close to 3 pounds. Well, there is, you know, random fish on this lake like that, but if you take yourself and go put yourself at Grenada, Mississippi, you just upped your odds by 99.9%. So if you get yourself in the right lake, that helps tremendous. Then sizing fish, you know, time on a screen, looking at a screen to be able to tell, hey, this is a 2-pounder, this is a 2.5, this is a 3+. It's just a lot of screen time. And, you know, the guys that do it consistently, the reason they do great, they are in front of that screen, you know, 24/7, and they're only dropping on five fish.
Yeah.
So you've seen
it. I know that.
You've seen it. You've seen Hayden.
Yeah. So I sit there and try and film them. It's not good to try and get a bunch of film catches if you're on the second day and they're on their third fish and they only want to catch two more. They only got to catch two more all day.
Yeah, exactly. Like
6 hours. They may not drop for an hour.
Yeah. So. And that's a hard thing, you know, as tournament angler, when we first got into it, you want to drop on that, you know, fish, but you don't realize the time you're costing yourself by working a fish that's not going to upgrade you to get up into the next level. So that's one thing that we've worked on this year, mainly more than any of it, was for us to keep improving. You got to start narrowing down and only fishing. And as you know, now it's everybody puts brakes on the back of the boat and the trolling motor is going. So you're covering as much water as you can on lake. That's the other key. You know, the guys that do it, you know, you've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
They'll run on 9 to 10 and it's amazing to watch them, how precise they are, and they can stop that boat. And I mean, it's an art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a true art.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. Catch everything from crappie to walleye to, gosh dang, just everything that swims on Beaver Lake. We got all the bass, white bass, stripers, you name it. They got something that can catch them, or you can troll crankbaits for them, and they got plenty of 44 different colors of crankbaits, and you can check them out. But anyway, go to picolures.com to find that information. If they want to find out more about y'all and what you're doing, where would they go?
So we have a TikTok. It is at White Family Fishing, just FISHIN. So there, or we have our own personal Facebooks where we typically post the majority of it. And it's just Cameron White and Bethany White. We're separate Facebooks, counts, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So we'll find out who really liked the show, because and they'll be posting and seeing.
Oh, yeah.
We sure appreciate you being on the show, like always.
Thanks for having us out here.
And the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.